Hello, it's Rich Wilson aboard Great American 3. It's January 3rd, 10 p.m. Universal Time, GMT. But that means, of course, that it's bright and sunny here on the other side of the world. Our position is 50 degrees and 49 minutes south, 168 degrees and 50 minutes east, making 11.9 knots on a course of 70 degrees about east-northeast. It's been quite an eventful 24, 30, 36 hours. We had been on the starboard jibe, heading to the east southeast yesterday, about the night before, and getting pretty far south, which we didn't really want to do. And I say we, it's usually the boat and me, but also Johnny Malvin was on Artemis. He's about 100 miles away, and we've been talking through all these gales that we've been through, and sort of a daily chat's been pretty nice. And we're both getting a little bit leery about getting so far south. We're down at 5230, and finally in the middle of the night, 44 knots squall came through again, and that sort of decided it for me to jibe up towards the New Zealand ice gate, and wasn't going to give us exactly the right angle. But interestingly, geometrically, the ones at sea always use a great circle direction and course, which is like taking a globe and putting a string across it, and you pull it tight between two points, and that's the great circle. The rum line course is a different course. It's if you took the Mercator projection of a chart, your standard sort of a square chart, it's the course of a constant angle between two points, and they're different, and they have different distances between two points, and the great circle is always the shortest. But I looked at the rum line course as well, and over the 1,500 miles or so to the ice gate, it was only 8 miles further. But it was a 12-degree difference in the initial route angle. And so it makes the jibe angle look a lot better. It makes it legitimizing the decision to make that jibe a lot easier. You say, oh, we're not going to be so far off. You're only sacrificing 8 miles over 1,500 miles, so that's almost nothing. So anyway, we did do the jibe, and on the way out of the deep south there, we had a hailstorm just to say goodbye. And then through the course of the day, made our way to the northeast, and it looked as though we were going to be able initially, as a new front came through, the next front in our never-ending series, the wind would shift and it would allow us to sail down to the south of a group of islands called the Auckland Islands. They're south of New Zealand, and a group of four islands. That's where Safran and Marquiamo stopped for repairs a week or so ago. And at the very last minute as we were getting there, finally the wind did shift and allowed us to sail down around them without having to jibe. And it was interesting because they were watching us very closely on the computer, and finally thought, we're not too far off. We're only about 12 miles off these islands. Finally, why don't I take a quick look and see if I can see them. And lo and behold, land ho, there they were in the gloom as the sun was going down of the approaching front. Everything was dark and gray, but there was a little bit of darker line down close to the water, and you could see that. That was it. So the last land we saw was Canary Islands. We were back up there off the coast of Africa, Morocco. So quite a ways. Some boats, I'm quite sure, will go France to France, seeing no land at all, not even Cape Horn. They'll be pretty wide of that. So anyway, we have seen part of New Zealand finally. So we got around there, and the front started to come through, and we had the staysail and three reefs in the main up. Yet again, when we hit a 23-knot surge or 22.5-knot surge, it was enough. Doesn't do anything except for add risk and load to everything. So we rolled up the staysail and went with the third reef in the mainsail through the night. You know you're sacrificing a lot, and you know Michel Desjoyeaux wouldn't be sailing like this. This is what we have, and gotta, I guess, be conservative, but So we poked along through the night around 9 knots, and seas built and then blew and up to 40 knots again. And finally, the front started to go through, and this morning it's turned clear and sunny, and we rolled out the staysail and then had a little breakfast to see if we should roll out the solent. And I came back up on deck, and there was something that was awry. There was a little piece of string in the cockpit floor, and I quite immediately knew what it was. It was the fuse for the rudder system. The rudders will kick up if you hit something. It's supposedly a safety device. Of course, the downside of it is that you then have no steerage and the boat's careening off in some direction with no rudder going. But anyway, we've had it happen a couple of times, not on this trip. This is the first time, but it did break. It was the windward rudder, I think, was one of the waves coming in from the side, hitting it and jarring it and breaking the fuse. So it took a while to get that new fuse set up in the system and grind the rudder back down to where it's supposed to be. But it also allowed, we've got a pretty big sea running here, still running 15 feet or so. It was up to 15 and 20 feet last night as we came past the island and across the plateau, got down to about 400 meters of depth. And so suddenly things get a little bit, the waves get a little bit bigger, and we're going to be on this Campbell Plateau until tomorrow, the next 24 hours anyway, until we get off a 1,000-meter line and 2,000, 3,000, 4,000-meter lines get off. And then it'll get a little bit smoother, I'm sure. But so yeah, we're able to get the rudder back down and then roll out the solent. And so now we're going along, making about 11 and a half knots. Average 70 degrees, going in the direction we want to go, waiting tomorrow for the next front to come through. We'll hopefully make a little bit to the north be able to lessen it a little bit. But one of the other things, as we went past those islands, we were thinking about the nice chapter in our teacher's guide we have called Invisible Places. And I was looking at the details of the islands, and there are no lighthouses and no harbors or anything, or there are harbors, but there are no civilization on it. But there was, in between two of the islands was Coleridge Bay, and they're also on the South Island there, the Adams Islands is called. There were three or four albatross symbols printed on the chart. And so, of course, Samuel Taylor Coleridge wrote The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, which was about the albatross. And one can only imagine that either he visited there sometime, or it was named after him after he wrote the poem, or some such. But anyway, a nice connection, and it was one of the poems that, in fact, I memorized about 25 years ago, so still have a bunch of it. So anyway, that's it from here. We're finally out from under the latest front or on the route, and heading up towards the ice gate about 850 miles away. So probably 4 days to get there, 3.5, 4 days. So that's it from Great American Fleet today. Off and clear.